I remember last week I said that there are three sources of strength. Last week I spoke about God as being the first one. I mentioned that the others are other people, leaders, and thirdly, yourself as a source of strength. Today I plan to talk about the other two, but the Holy Spirit has been kind of kicking me in the butt. And so I want to make a correction, because I said that there are three sources of strength. There's only one source. Praise the Lord. I said that there were three sources, strength to carry on. But the Holy Spirit kept telling me, you're getting it wrong. There's only one source, and that is God. Every other thing, every other person, whether you or others, you're just vessels. We're just vessels. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 17:5. These are the scriptures the Holy Spirit hit me with, so I'll share with you. We're still going to talk about other people, leaders, and ourselves, how we strengthen ourselves. But we need to realize that strength comes from God, not from man. Jeremiah 17:5 says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it's not about our leaders. It's not about those around us. It's not about those in position that can help us, those that can make things happen for us. It's about God. You know, the first time I learned, and I'm actually surprised at myself, because I learned that lesson, and I seem to have forgotten. I'm sure I've shared it with you guys before, when I finished university and wanted to get a job. Yeah, it's good to have connections, to know people. You know, you have people in high places. And I went to see one of my uncles, thinking to myself, my sister is smiling, she knows what I'm talking about, thinking, yeah, man, this guy's been a commissioner, he's, you know, a senior advocate. And I was thinking, if anybody can make a job happen, he will make it happen. And I went into his office, I talked to him. God bless him. He was like, oh, it is well. We'll see what can happen and all. But that was the second time. I should have learned from the first time. First time around, when I wanted to enter uni, something similar happened. When I left uni and was looking for a job, I was like, I don't really know people, you know. But let's wait and see. As I was leaving his office, the Holy Spirit used this verse to speak to me. I actually said, woe to him that puts his trust in the arm of flesh, because it will fail. And there and then, I was like, God, I want a job, but I want a job that nobody can take the glory, that nobody can say, I gave you this job. Truth be told, everyone that tried to help me get a job, it didn't work out. The two interviews I got were because I applied for them. I did a test. And the job I eventually got, everybody at the workplace were asking, man, you must have connections. You must know people. Who do you know? And I'm like, man, it's God. Why? Because that organization had not employed a fresh graduate in well over 2 years. They weren't employing fresh graduates. And that year, they employed two of us. Usually they employ people from other banks. And people are like, man, who do you guys know to get this job? The other person they employed, he was an economist in a bank. I was a biochemist going to work in a bank. I went for an interview. You can believe the kind of questions they asked me. My friend, we're still friends. When he told me the things they were asking him, thank God for the economics people, you know, econometrics and all this. And I was like, if they had asked me a single question like that, that would be failure totally. As God would have it, I walk into the interview room. The first person was from my hometown. Not just was he from my hometown, he went to my university. So we had things in common. And we're talking about, oh, you went to UI, wow, greatest UI interview. Ijesha Nuri. Yes, sir. Yes, I'm from Malaysia. The second person, the head of HR, she was from a town where I did my national service. You served in Akwa Ibom. Yes, Abadie, Idianka, you know? The third person was an Indian man, so he didn't send anybody anyway. But the point is, we talked about everything other than banking. And I got a job. Praise the Lord. The source of strength is God. The second instance, I mean, I said there were two things the Holy Spirit kept playing on my heart when I was thinking about this. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And it's the case of Asa. 2 Chronicles 16. Verses 7 to 9. It says, and at that time, 2 Chronicles 16, verses 7 to 9. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We see this guy, Asa, you know, trusting in other kings to help. And the prophet came and was saying, you're missing it. You're missing it because when you trusted in God, he made a way for you. So is it that you're forgetting this God who has done it in time past? That you're now thinking, it's that man, it's that woman, it's that person that's going to make a way. Cursed is he, is the man who puts his trust in man. My prayer is that I will not trust in man or in the arm of flesh. Okay. So, our source is God. He's the source of our strength. But we have one another. We have people that we can speak to. We have people that can encourage us. We have people that can uphold us. I'll just briefly talk about three folks in the Bible that, you know, you kind of see it in their lives. The first one is Hezekiah. I'll just quickly read from 2 Chronicles chapter 32 from verse 1. It says, after these deeds of faithfulness, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered Judah. He encamped against the fortified cities, thinking to win them over to himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come, and that his purpose was to make war against Jerusalem, he consulted with his leaders and commanders to stop the water from the springs which were outside the city, and they helped him. Thus many people gathered together who stopped all the springs and the brook that ran through the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? At verse 5, and he strengthened himself, built up all the wall that was broken raised it up to the towers, and built another wall outside. Also, he prepared the Milo in the city of David and made weapons and shields in abundance. Then he set military captains over the people, gathering them together to help to him in the open square of the city gates, and gave them encouragement, saying, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, because before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is within, for there are more with us than within." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We see Hezekiah here encouraging his people, telling them, don't be afraid, be strong, be courageous. We've got someone with us that is going to make a way, that is greater, that is with us than the ones that are with them. You know, you don't get the true gist of this story in 2 Chronicles. In the book of Kings, if you look at the king accounts of the story of Hezekiah, Hezekiah, first of all, when Sennacherib was threatening, Hezekiah stripped all the gold in the temple just to appease Sennacherib. So, man, I'm going to take over your land. I'm going to, you know, you've got to pay homage to me. You have to bow to me. And what did he do? Okay, gathered all the gold. Let's appease this guy. But Sennacherib was not satisfied. So you're trying to please someone. You give everything, and yet he still wants more than everything you've got. What then do you do? It was after giving him all the gold, and Sennacherib was still threatening, that Hezekiah went back to God. And you know, what that says to me, yes, sometimes it's so easy. You know, there's this song we sing, Immortal, Invisible. My tune is wrong, right? Yeah. Yeah, something like that. Immortal, invisible, right? Yes, it is invisible, not God is invincible. He's all powerful, but he's also that song says invisible. There's a difference. So the invisible God. Sorry, please excuse tea. All right, so God is invincible, but he's also invisible. And the issue with the invisible God is sometimes we're forgetful. Because we don't see a physical presence. Because we don't have, as some do, an idol that every time they walk into their house, they see something and they're like, ah, my God. And because it's invisible, we are forgetful at times, and we're just thinking, you know, God is not there. God is not around. I mean, but God sees. He sees all things. Now, in the case of Sennacherib, Hezekiah was a man that loved God. You look at his life. But at that point, when I've just thought, man, let's satisfy this guy, rather than going back to his source. Importantly, it is better late than never. You know, some of us, we're headstrong. We're just, you know, it has to be this way. Why don't we just go to God for direction? Why don't we go back to God and ask him, what would he have us do? Praise the Lord. Excuse me. Hezekiah encouraged his people. It was a source of strength to them. But Hezekiah also strengthened himself. In verse 5, he says, and he strengthened himself. He encouraged himself. Another person that we see that did that is David. In the case of David, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 to 8. 1 Samuel 30, 1 to 8. It's a popular story. I'm sure we all know it. The story of Ziklag. you know, David and his men, they had been raiding. They went on a raid. They came back. By the time they came back, their family, their livestock, everything had been taken. It says, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they're taking captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burnt with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until there was no more power to weep. Sometimes when we read the scriptures, we should try and, you know, visualize what's happening. Imagine crying to the point that you don't have any more strength even to cry. That speaks of, you know, big time despair. What else can you do? You know, you see some people that mourn and they just sit there like a statue. And you're like, they're just like that because there's no more strength in them. That was what happened with these guys. It says, and David's two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. Praise the Lord. You know, the people that were planning to stone David were the so-called men of valor, David's mighty men. The people that, you know, the vagabonds, the riffraffs that joined with him, that he had encouraged, he had built, he had nurtured, and they were men of valor. I mean, I love one of those stories about, you know, the guys that David said he wanted water. He didn't ask them. He just said, oh, how it would be nice to have, I'd like to have a milkshake right now. Oh, it would be nice to, actually, it would be nice to have, you know, ice cream sundae with, and I finished saying it. And the only place they sell it is, I don't know, you almost get into Coventry to get it. And someone comes, and the next thing you know, here you go. I was just, you know, there's some, sometimes we talk rhetorically. We just say, that would be nice to go to Hawaii for the weekend. And someone comes and gives you a ticket. Yeah, right? I hope you guys are getting it, yeah? Okay. You're saying amen for me, eh? Praise God. You know, David was like, oh, how would be nice to drink the waters from the well at Jerusalem. There was a garrison of the enemies there. And these guys, despite the danger, they went, they got the water and brought it to him. Thank God for the fear of God in David's life. Because it was like, you know, if I drink this water, it's like drinking the blood of the men that went to get it because they could have perished in getting it. Mighty men, men of valor. It is the same men of valor that wanted to stone him. The same men of valor that put themselves out for him because they were distressed, because they were in a bad place. They were ready to kill him. But what did David do? He said, now David was greatly distressed, and the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Praise the Lord. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And we're still back to, it's all about God. Yeah, we can strengthen ourselves, we can encourage ourselves, but if you're encouraging yourself outside God, then you're nowhere. If you think you can accomplish it by your strength without God, you're nowhere. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. What did he do? He went back to God. He went back to God. It says, then David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord. So yeah, things might not be going right. Things might be hard. Who do you go to? Who do you go to? David went back to God. Yes, his men were unhappy. What did he do? He encouraged himself. But it is still the same men that went after the Amalekites. So on encouraging himself, he would have encouraged his men and get them up to go after the enemy. And the Bible tells us that they restored everything that was taken from them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So David reverted to God when faced with a major challenge. Who do we go to? Hezekiah started by trying to do it in his own way. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death, is destruction. Sometimes we think we know it. Sometimes we thank God for knowledge and wisdom and whatever we want to call it. Thank God for experience. But even the experience we have, we can't box God. Because the way God does something today, or the way he did it yesterday, might not be the way he wants to do it today. So the fact that he did it for you yesterday in a particular way doesn't mean he's going to do it in the same way for you today. David went to God. He asked God what to do. Yes, pursue. You will overtake. You will recover. And he did. I pray that whatever we might have lost, whatever might have been taken from us, whatever we might have willfully given. You know, sometimes we pray and we talk about everything the devil has taken. We put too much blame on the devil. Sometimes it's not the devil, come on. Sometimes our own willful actions. We do some things knowing. I mean, don't raise your hand, but how many of us here have been like, yeah, I know it's wrong, but God, you'll understand. All right, okay, I'll do it, and, you know, I'll ask for forgiveness later. How many of us have done things like that? That we willfully, we know it is wrong, and we'll do it, and then we'll say, okay, I know God will forgive me, and we go back to God, and God does, I mean, that's the thing, God will forgive. God forbid that anything happens before you go back. No, it's true. God will forgive. If you go to him, he will forgive. I once heard the story of a man that said, you know, he's going to live his life to the full, and then at the point of death, he will give his life to Christ. You know, like the guy on the cross. Say, remember me in your kingdom. And Jesus said, yeah, today you'll be with me. So at lastminute.com, he was saved. And some people actually think like that. This particular guy was crossing the road, and he saw a car coming. I think it was actually a truck. And his whole life was flashing before him. And he was just paralyzed. As God will have it, he wasn't hit by the car. That was when he realized that the last minute, there might be no time to do anything. Thank God he gave his life to Christ. Lastminute.com. Interesting. Praise the Lord. So Hezekiah, we see the case of Hezekiah, we see the case of David. Same instances. They both encouraged themselves in the Lord. They both encouraged themselves, but they didn't stop there. They encouraged their fellow men. They encouraged those who were around them. And I guess we should ask ourselves, you know, it's like that story, you know, God said that Abraham is going to be blessed. But they didn't stop there. Said it will be a blessing. And for many of us, we encourage ourselves. We have that faith. You know, we've got the mountain moving faith. When things happen, we stand firm. But what influence, what impact are we making in the lives of those God has placed around us? Do we make any difference? Whether in your workplace, whether at school, whether in your neighborhood, do you make any difference? Do people even know that there's something different about you, that there's someone greater in you? Do they? We're good at encouraging ourselves and being strong in the faith. But are we building those around us? Are we strengthening those around us? The third person, Paul. Now, you look through the New Testament and you say to yourself, Paul wrote so many of the epistles in the New Testament. I'll just read a few verses. 1 Corinthians 11:1. 1 Corinthians 11:1. It says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. First Corinthians 4, verses 15 and 16. It says, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you to imitate me. And you wonder, what could make Paul say to the Corinthians, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. He had invested in the lives of these people. He had taught them. And that was why I was able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. But there's something we need to be aware of. We cannot give what we don't have. Right? You can't give what you don't have. If you're troubled, if you're in a bad place, are you going to encourage others? If you're weak, you're down and all, how can you strengthen the arms of others? For Paul to be saying, you know, follow me or imitate me, learn from me, even as I learn from Christ, it shows that there's a progression. He's learning from Christ. He's imitating Christ. He's being Christ-like. And because he's being Christ-like, he's saying, you know what, look at my life. As a Christian, you should be able to follow, you know, copy things I do. And it's a scary one, because how many of us can say that? You know, how many of us can truly say, you know what, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God. Come with me. You know, see my life and learn from it. The scary thing is, if God were to make, you know these open cinemas, if our hearts were to be projected, what will people see? What will people see? Even as we're sitting right now, if our hearts were to be projected and the things going on in our hearts, in our minds, what will they see? Or are we just the outer shell that is all Christian and holy, raising up holy hands? Can we, heart to chest, truly say, I'm a child of God. I am walking the way God wants me to walk. I'm living my life as He's called me to live it. I am trusting in Him alone. Can we do that? Because that's the first step. You wonder why so many Christians find it to, what is the gospel? What is the good news? It's It's basically the good news of salvation, of love, of the love of Christ, of the love of God that made him, you know, die for us. Why is it so difficult for us to share that? Why is it so difficult for us to tell someone else? Is it because we're not feeling it ourselves? And we need to ask ourselves, because if we're all born again and saved and tongue-talking, demon-chasing, what else do they do? Yeah, so tongue-talking, demon-chasing, you know, and you have all those things and, you know, the serious kabashing and everything, and we do that on our own. But then the next person doesn't even have a clue that there's something different about you. And you're not making any impact on the life of someone else. You're falling short. If I'm not doing that, I'm falling short. If I'm not influencing others for Christ, could I be influenced? I think it was this guy, what's his name? Ron Kennelly. He sang a song and he was saying something about there being no demilitarized zone. No demilitarized zone in the sense that North and South Korea, there's a DMZ, demilitarized zone, where both parties stay away from. Point being, you're either on God's side or you're on the devil's side. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. So if you're going to serve this God, serve him with everything. And if you're not going to serve him, know that you're not going to serve him. But if you're going to serve him, give him your all. Put everything into serving him and let it show. Let it show, because it said, let your light shine and men see your good works and give glory to your Father. If the light is in you and you're not letting it shine, nobody is going to see the good works and nobody is going to give the Father the glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have to let our light shine. We strengthen ourselves. I thank God for our lives that we continue to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We're learning the scriptures. We're learning the word. We're practicing the word. But we need to do it and also influence others. So as we strengthen ourselves, let us learn to strengthen others. Praise the Lord. Shall we rise to our feet? Paul said, follow me even as I follow Christ. Is that something that you can say? Can you say that of yourself, that I'm following Christ wholeheartedly? I'm living as he's asked me to live. I'm walking as he's asked me to walk. That statement, you know, it's a bold statement. Are we bold enough to say, yes, Lord, I'm following you with my whole heart? I am searching the scriptures. I'm pressing on a daily basis. From where we started, we said that it is not about us. It is not about what others will do for us. It is all about God. Because without him, we can do nothing. Strength comes from him. If you're in a hard place, if you're in a place that you're challenged for whatever reason, God is saying, trust in me. Not the person that did it for you the last time. Not the person that you think did it for you. Not the person that you think can make a way for you. Trust in me.